Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions. So let's have a look at our first question today. It comes from Eva, who says, as an overweight person who has light colouring, I find it hard to go lighter in my outfits because I feel that dark clothes make me look slimmer. I kind of probably want to hide, but I see that dark clothes don't flatter me and I want to change that. How do I do it? So this is where we need to think about just how dark we have to go. So we know that light colours advance and come forward, so make things look larger, and dark colours recede and therefore make things look smaller, which is why people think that black is such a slimming colour. But also bright colours come forward and advance, and muted or greyed down colours recede and make things look smaller. When we think about black, black is actually bright, so it has an advancing quality. So it's not as slimming as people think it is. And particularly if it's unrelated to your colouring, it'll be the thing that draws attention to itself. Now I want you to do something for me. I want you to imagine that in front of you on a table are two boxes. Now, one box is white, one box is black. You're going to lift those boxes up. Which box is heavier? That's right, it's the black one, isn't it? And this is because we give black visual weight. So particularly when you have light colouring, so overall light hair, if you wear really dark clothes, they really weigh you down because they're unrelated to the rest of you. So we actually add visual weight by wearing really dark colours when they are unrelated to us. So what we want to think about is just wearing something that is darker. It doesn't have to be dark. It just has to be darker than what you're wearing it with. So if I look at my skin tone, if the colour is darker than my skin tone, it's going to be more receding and my skin will be the thing that is lighter. So my top, my white top, is lighter than my skin, so that advances. My jacket is about similar, maybe slightly darker than my skin tone, so it's a little bit more receding. So it's thinking about if particularly, say, your bottom half, you want to hide that a bit, you want that to be more camouflaged. This is why we tend to wear a lighter top and darker bottoms for many women, because more women carry more weight on their lower bodies. So it just needs to be darker than your top. So if your top is lighter or brighter, so because bright colours advance, if I'm wearing a brighter colour or a warmer colour, so when I'm talking warm here, I'm talking the overtone of warmth. So I'm talking reds, pinks, oranges, yellows, those kind of colours. When we look at the colour wheel, those are described as warm colours because we associate them with warm things, fire and sun and those sorts of things, versus cool overtone colours. So they're the colours blues, greens, purples. They're the colours that recede because we associate, and they're called cool colours because they are associated with things like water and deep forests and colder things. So when I'm saying warm colours advance, I'm talking about those pinks and reds and oranges. So if we're wearing something warmer and then something cooler, so if we have the warmer colour on the part of our body that we're happy to be more noticed and the cooler on the parts of our body that we're happy to have more receding, that'll also be another way to do it. So you can have lighter and darker, and we can have warmer and cooler as well. So there are two different ways that we can do, you know, make things like less apparent. So really, when we're thinking about, if I have a light colouring, so I've got very light colouring, if I go too dark, it just looks heavy. So it makes me look heavy. Also, what really dark colours do is they frame us against the background. You really notice the edges so much more, because we tend to be against lighter backgrounds more of the time. So if we go really dark, it's much more obvious. If we just go medium, so as a light person, if I want to have something that's more slimming, just even in a medium tone, it's going to be more slimming than a really dark tone. But it's much easier to wear, and it's going to hide a bit more than something that's really light. So we're thinking about going lighter rather than darker. And then whatever element that we want to make least obvious, we put a darker colour on. But it doesn't have to be a lot darker. Just the difference even between this and this, what you'll see is that the white top versus the pale blue jacket, that the top is lighter than the jacket. And that's really you know, kind of simple when we think about it. So it's really thinking about lighter and darker, but still relating to your own colouring. So if you have deep, dark colouring, the really deep, dark colours work really well. But if you have light colouring, we're thinking about more medium colours as being your version of slimming colours, your cooler colours, more muted colours. So greys and anything that's more greyed out is going to be much more slimming than anything that is bright or warm. So hopefully that helps you, Eva. We don't have to hide behind really dark colours all the time. And for many of us, it actually weighs us down and makes us look heavier and doesn't disguise us because it's very unrelated to our overall look. So next question. It's a really big one here, so I'll try and pricey it for you. So Sue says, I'm reassessing my handbag because I had a handbag stolen. And I'm looking at crossbody bags. So, but, you know, are they really, you know, flattering all the time? And, you know, can you wear it with most outfits? You know, what needs to be considered? And how do you carry a phone, lipstick, wallet around without it weighing you all down and looking bulky? This is where, look, crossbody bags are always going to cut you across the body. And depending on your bust size, it's one of those things, I think the slimmer you are down the front, so the smaller your bust, the easier a crossbody bag is to wear because it's not mushing with your clothes. Because when you've got a you know, like a strap that's going across your body, it can start to kind of mess with your outfit and make it look a bit, you know, more haphazard versus when we've got a very small bust, the strap is not pushing against the chest, it's not changing the construction of the clothes so much, not the construction, the way the clothes are sitting on you so much. So I would say that is something to be considered. I always find the larger your bust, the less crossbody bags are flattering to wear, but they are A, useful. You know, your gear is protected. It's much harder for somebody to steal your purse when it's across your body than when it's just on one shoulder. And B, you know, they're hands-free bags. And this can be particularly useful when we're out, you know, I know when I'm at the supermarket or something and I'm, you know, grabbing things off the shelf, having a bag that falls off my shoulder is really annoying. So having a crossbody bag is something to consider. So therefore it is thinking about how big it is. And there are lots of different sizes. So I would say that if you, the smaller the bag, it's going to be a bit lighter. It's going to mess less with your outfit. So thinking about a smaller bag, but then it's looking at, you know, like what can I fit in there? And of course, it's got to be practical for you. So I always, you know, will go and be, you know, like when I'm trying out a bag, I'll go, can I fit my wallet in there and my cards and my whatever it is I want in there? You know, my phone and my lipstick and, you know, I have an emergency eye mask and earplugs that I carry with me at all times. Sometimes I need some sensory deprivation. It's the joy of being an introvert, that the emergency eye mask and earplugs do live in my handbag, along with an emergency safety pin and Band-Aid and a couple of headache tablets. But, you know, we all carry around our own little, you know, somebody was telling me about someone who happened to have a stapler in her handbag. All the useful things that you might need. So you've got to decide what is useful for you and your handbag. And then decide just how much you want to put in there. So how big the handbag's going to be. And do you want to have something in that handbag that's built in for your, you know, credit cards and things, or are you going to have a separate wallet as well? One of the things I think these days is we have much smaller wallets than we used to. We can, because a lot of us, you know, all the kind of loyalty cards and the credit, you know, we can keep them on our phone now. These days, I can just go and tap with my phone and my watch, and I don't even need to take my wallet anymore, you know, unless I'm paying with cash, which is getting less and less common these days. But, you know, I might still need a few cards for bits and pieces. So this is where it's deciding how you're going to carry things around, what works for you, because you can get some very kind of slimline little credit card holders if you want. You can just have a little change purse. You don't need to have a big bag. So you could have something that's, you know, relatively small that would work for you. So the thing is, crossbody bags never going to be as stylish in many ways. It's much more casual. It's always going to be a more casual look than, you know, like a shoulder bag's a bit less casual, and one held in your hand or the crook of your arm is the most formal. But really, it's got to work with you and your lifestyle. The outfit consideration is just part of it. And then I think too, it's choose a color that's going to be really versatile for you. So I've got one that it's a good size. It allows me to have my wallet, my phone, you know, a few bits and pieces, even a small, you know, drink bottle in there, just a little one, not a big one. But it's been a very good size and it's in my hair color. So it goes with everything. It's very easy for me to, you know, to work with it and to carry it lots of places. And it is very convenient. So when I go shopping, I know, well, you know, it's not as stylish and gorgeous as if I'm carrying some other bag. But in the end, you've got to decide what really matters to you. As far as choosing handbags go. But I will never go and buy a handbag without taking all the things I want to put in it and put them in there and see if it fits. Because that's something. There's no point in getting something and you get it home and discover it's just too small for what you want. Okay, hopefully that helps, Sue. Third question day. If I decide to go grey, how will this change your colouring? Can you still wear patterns if your hair is patterned? As well, not all the same colour. So, going grey, I've talked a little about this lately because it's, of course, many people's concerns now that hairdressers are closed and we're not going to be getting our hair dyed for quite some time. I think there's many of us who may be thinking about, well, is this the time to embrace the grey? Will I grow out my grey? So, what often happens with grey is that when grey hair comes in, it is multicoloured. It'll be multi-tonal, won't it? Because we'll have the lighter white bits and also the darker bits left of whatever was our natural hair colour. So I do notice though that generally the hair tends to, even whatever was like say brown or like dark blonde, loses the warmth that it might have had before, and it looks even more like a, you know, like different shades of grey rather than being brown and you know, brown and white or brown and silver. So, but what this is doing is giving you a more multicoloured hair. So what it's going to do is impact on potentially your value contrast. So you might find you have a higher value contrast with the multi-tonal hair. Of course, it all depends on your hair color and how white it is versus how dark it is. But also too, is it does give you a bit of pattern or texture. It gives you often gray hair too, it can appear more coarse, tends to be drier as well. So this is where we might want to think about adding more texture into our garments instead of having smooth garments, particularly things like avoiding satin and really smooth sorts of fabrics. So having even just little textural elements and also having little elements of pattern in our garments rather than all solids. Now it can be textural. So here, the top I'm wearing today, it's got like a leaf, it's like a burnt out sort of leaf pattern. It creates a textural element, even though it is one solid color. So that something like that, if you like the solid colors, because of course pattern is personality based. Whether, you know, what kind of patterns that you like, if you like pattern, you know, am I a floral, a check, a stripe, a abnormal print, an abstract print, a geometric print, a repeating pattern, a random pattern, all these things come down to you and your personality and your own personal likes and dislikes. So of course then, if you're going to go for pattern, like, you know, like, do you like pattern? So if you say, I really don't like pattern, if I look in my wardrobe, there's no pattern and I don't like pattern, then I'd be looking for adding more texture in as you go grey, because at least that will create some harmony with your new hair. And then really looking at the value contrast of the different colours in your hair and repeating that in your outfit. If you do like pattern, then have a look at the patterns you like. And you will often find that you'll find that some patterns may work really well. So it could be kind of like some sort of check, or it could be some sort of random print. It really depends, you know, you and what you like. But thinking about repeating that value contrast that you have in your hair in the pattern that you are wearing. So they are some things to consider if we're going grey, is just how that's going to change what you're wearing, you know, the choices, what really looks good. It's because when we repeat, when we harmonize with our natural appearance, that's when we look our best. So it's not just about body shape. It's about things like what's in my hair texture. What are the facial features? So when I'm looking at patterns, if I've got more rounded facial features, I'm going to look for more rounded, curvy patterns. If I've got more sharp facial features, I'll look for sharper sorts of patterns. But the thing is, a floral, for example, you can have sharp ones and you can have curvy ones. There's really, you know, it doesn't tell you that you can only do one sort of pattern. You really want to find the ones that appeal to you. And I think with pattern, it's really important that you find the pattern aesthetically pleasing. If you're only a bit ho-hum about a pattern, don't buy it, because very quickly you'll be sick of it. Generally, you want to go, I just want to fall in love with the pattern and that I, you know, really enjoy it, because that means it will last much longer in your wardrobe. Also consider the scale of the pattern. The scale of the pattern should relate to your overall body scale. If you're petite, don't go for giant patterns unless you have a really dramatic personality. If you've got that really dramatic personality, you may be able to carry them off. But if you're not really dramatic, you'll want smaller scale patterns to go with your smaller scale person. If you're very tall, then a larger scale pattern will work better and a little itty bitty print will look a bit silly on you. So we want to relate to our overall body scale when we're choosing our patterns, and we also want to relate to our facial features. So if you've got smaller facial features, smaller patterns might work better, or medium sized patterns. If you've got very large facial features, then a larger pattern or print could go. And of course, what's the texture of your hair as well? So all these things come into it. If I've got curly textured hair, I might think about more curly curved prints. If I've got straight smooth hair, I might think about, you know, straight lines. I might think about a stripe or something that is more geometric. So there you go. There's some little thoughts to think about. You know, if you're thinking about going grey, like, there's lots to consider. Hopefully we'll be able to get our hair dyed at some stage or other for us who like to go that way. But if this is the time you've gone, you know, sometimes it's the outside world influences and says, this is the time you're going to do it, so you may as well embrace it. Then, you know, enjoy the journey. It may change. So it's just, you know, how you put things together. So it's just looking at what you are seeing and then repeating that in your outfits in some way or other. So there you go. Please feel free to email me your questions too. I love to hear them. Imogen@insideoutstyleblog.com is my email address. You know, let me know what questions you'd like me to answer, and I will be back again with you soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit insideoutstyleblog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.